Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag, and on this podcast I offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. Today I want to talk to you about some of the unique characteristics that we're seeing in a new generation of business executives. People who seem to think about business differently. Digital leaders shaped by the internet era who have a radically different mindset when it comes to leadership style. Now, I know what you're thinking. In many ways, the idea of a digital leader sounds like just another buzzword. I mean, what the hell is a digital leader anyway? Is it even a thing? Probably not. But that said, there is a new generation of business leaders who've been heavily influenced by the digital age, and it's impacting their leadership style, leading them, in many cases, to significant success. So what's this group doing differently? How are they thinking differently? Admittedly, many of the things that they're doing are just modern best practice in business leadership, but some of their approaches are more directly influenced by digital itself, and it's these aspects that I want to explore. So what aspects of digital are influencing modern business leadership? Well, I believe that there are three elements. There's the fact that digital has unique qualities to it, the fact that digital has changed consumer behavior, and the fact that digital is changing employees and their work. So let's dive into each of these and see what we can learn. I see a lot of lazy thinking when it comes to digital, people dismissing digital as just another marketing channel or something they can bolt on to their existing business models. In truth, digital has got some unique characteristics that set it apart from many of the other tools of business, set it aside in ways that make us reconsider how we go about doing business on a daily basis. For a start, if you think about it, the raw materials of a digital project are free. Pixels do not cost money. Of course, we all know that, but a true digital leader allows that fact to influence their approach much more broadly. Imagine for a moment a traditional project, something like building a new factory. The high cost of materials makes it important that this project is completed on its first attempt correctly and without mistakes. You can't get halfway through building a factory only to conclude that you've taken the wrong approach and start again. That would cost too much. It would be prohibitively expensive. As a result, traditional business thinking is focused on reducing risk because the cost of failure is high. Traditional organizations form committees to ensure that they consider every eventuality. They write specifications so they know the exact nature of what it is that they're going to build. Once a project starts, scope creep becomes the enemy because change brings substantial costs in new materials. But that kind of thinking makes little sense when the raw material is free. It makes even less sense in the context of digital, where things are evolving at such a speed. That slow-moving, risk-averse business thinking is harmful in this kind of environment. Another aspect of digital is that it provides us with unparalleled amounts of data on its usage. We can see exactly how many people are using our digital services and get near instant feedback on whether changes we make to a service are improving it or not. Imagine if we could apply those qualities to a factory. Suppose you could rearrange rooms and production lines at limited cost, or that you could see what worked and what didn't before further adjusting it based on what you observe. Would you still insist on your committee, specifications and waterfall project plans? Would you leave your factory as you had originally built it for years at a time? Or would you keep tweaking and improving it? We can see this different worldview amongst digital leaders. They know that they can create digital services through experimentation and iteration. They operate more like scientists than traditional business leaders. They research, hypothesize, test, and iterate, inching their way towards a progressively better solution. To them, projects don't have a finite beginning, middle, and end. Instead, they evolve and grow over time based on the feedback data that they receive from the product. It's a world of prototypes, split testing, and constant evaluation. But although digital has many benefits, it also comes at a cost. When you talk to digital leaders, as often I do, it quickly becomes apparent that they share an almost obsession with the customer experience. Not just the lip service we hear from other business executives, but a pathological fear of disappointing their customers. That's because they know how fickle today's connected customers can be, how brand loyalty is a thing of the past. The problem is most business leaders don't share that realization. Most business leaders learned their skills in the mass market, mass media age. Back then, if a consumer wanted to buy a new product, they have two ways of sourcing a supplier: word of mouth or turning to company advertising. The company with the biggest advertising budget would tend to win out over word of mouth because it had a limited reach. But those days are gone. Today, a simple Google search will return every single company which offers a similar product or service to you on the planet. What's more, there are thousands of sites dedicated to reviewing and comparing those suppliers, not to mention millions of social media updates providing feedback on the experience. Digital leaders fear the customer because they know the consumer has an unlimited choice and can go elsewhere with the click of the mouse. But that's not the only reason they fear them. They also fear them because they know that one unhappy customer could destroy their reputation. For example, a middle-aged, disgruntled housewife in Utah has the same ability to influence potential customers as an entire marketing team. One bad review can go viral. Your brand is no longer what you say it is, it's what your customers say about you. Worst of all consumers know this. They know the power has shifted to them and that their voice matters. They know that companies don't like it when they say negative things about them on Twitter or Facebook. And that makes them demanding. But the choice can also overwhelm them as well. With so many suppliers, they're forced to narrow the field. They become fickle, dismissing any provider that they considered let them down in some way. Their expectations have gone through the roof. Digital leaders understand that they aren't just competing with the competition in the digital space. In fact, they're competing with any other experience a consumer has had online. Consumers don't understand why they get amazing tools from Google, Facebook, Skype, and Dropbox, and yet they have to tolerate your rubbish website. The last best experience online becomes their expectation for every experience they have moving forward. The old mindset of taking existing customers for granted while offering new customers exclusive benefits doesn't work in this new reality. In fact, a lot of the best practices of the past no longer remain valid after such a shift in consumer power. While traditional marketing departments are replacing TV advertising with banner advertising or press releases with blog posts, digital leaders are taking a different approach. They're obsessively nurturing their customer base and turning them into advocates. They know that thanks to social media, happy customers can spread your products and services further and faster than any advertising spend could do. However, digital presents one last challenge for today's business leaders to embrace. Digital has introduced some obvious changes to the workplace. The rise of remote working is probably the most apparent, but that's just the tip of an iceberg. For a start, digital technology has permeated every part of our companies, from customer relationship management systems to cloud computing and stock management. However, many employees are becoming increasingly frustrated with these tools they're asked to use. After all, in their personal lives, they use sophisticated, easy-to-use applications. Then they're confronted with enterprise tools that are technology rather than experience-driven. Just like consumers, their last best experience online has become their baseline for expectations of the tools they use at work. But there are more subtle changes at work too. There are changes that begin to challenge the traditional command and control management style. Digital, along with many other factors, has led to a workplace that doesn't require traditional management in the same way. In fact, I would argue that in some cases, the level of control many managers exert is damaging to digital innovation because, as I suggested earlier, it slows down decision making. Most workers, especially in the digital field, are highly paid and highly motivated. They don't need to be managed. They need to be protected, motivated, and led. That requires a very different skill set to those found in many of the managers I've had the misfortune to work alongside. Many managers treat employees as inherently untrustworthy and lazy. They have the attitude that they need to be constantly monitoring them and micromanaging them. Employees, on the other hand, increasingly expect autonomy and the right to choose how, where, and when they work. The hierarchical structure within many organisations further heightens this discrepancy in viewpoints. Many companies actually still see managers as superior to their employees, despite the fact that they often know less about what are becoming increasingly specialised fields. Strong digital leaders have a very different attitude, however. They understand that not everyone is suited to leadership positions. They know that just because an employee hasn't chosen to move into management doesn't mean that they're less skilled or experienced. Their leadership style has been influenced by the flat structures of the web and open source projects. A structure where respect is earned rather than granted by a job title or position. These problems in the workplace are going to become ever more apparent over the coming years as more digital natives move into the workplace. They're not a generation to blindly accept authority, and they don't like being told that they have to do things a certain way because that's just how they're done. But these changes are actually a good thing. Companies need independent, self-motivated employees capable of taking the initiative. That's because the hierarchical structure is just not flexible or fast enough to keep pace with the rate of change digital imposes. Where does the digital age then leave our older generation of leaders? If you listen to some people, you'd think that they are a hopeless case. You can't teach old dogs new tricks. These people seem to suggest that the leaders of the past can't offer a digital vision or provide a digital strategy. If that's true, then one of two things will happen. Either the companies they run will slowly disappear into obscurity, or those same companies will kick those managers to the curb. Personally, neither option sounds particularly appealing in my opinion, and I'm not willing to give up on my peers quite yet. We need to be careful not to dismiss the tremendous knowledge and experience these old school leaders have. The vast majority of what they know is still relevant today. These are people who are worth investing in, who are worth taking on the digital journey. Instead of dismissing them as obsolete, we should be helping them to fill the gaps in their knowledge and adapt their considerable leadership skills to a new digital reality. And that's not an impossible task. In fact, it's fairly straightforward. The question is not whether or not we can help our leaders, but rather whether they're willing to accept it. Pride is probably going to be the biggest barrier to transforming the current generation of leaders. Are they ready to acknowledge that the world has changed and they need to update their skill set? Unfortunately, the odds are stacked against them as they come from a management style where they're expected to have all the answers. In their minds, at least, admitting gaps in their knowledge would be to let down their staff and the company. And that is probably going to be the hardest transition for them to make.